The first Murali that Baba spoke when he spoke to the Madhava Nivasis, and although it was to the Madhava Nivasis, it was for all of us also, and the theme was love. And so, not surprising that the second Murali of the season should be a Murali on purity. Each season Baba takes up the most important aspects that we need to imbibe within the soul. And so every season is like the next year, the next semester, in which Baba is giving us training to move on, move on, move on. And although the words may seem the same, love and truth and respect and so on, but the training that Baba's giving is a constantly refined process. And yesterday I found that the most important thing that Baba was doing, apart from the definitions that Baba was giving, what Baba was actually doing was having very, very long pauses. And it was like Baba would make a statement, like Baba spoke about the eternal stage of the soul. And having said that, Baba would pause, and Baba's drishti would be lifting us into that experience. So that it was very much an experiential Murali. Sometimes Baba says, now I'm going to conduct drill, or through a Murali 3 or 4 times, Baba will just pause and go into a lot of silence, and then after the silence again remind us of that. But yesterday it was like many, many times there would be a sentence Baba would say, and then in silence what Baba was doing was pulling the soul to that experience. And it was like Baba was reminding us. And Baba would say, do you remember what your experience was when you were in the soul world? Just imagine, not only do we know about the home, not only can we experience going to our home, but Baba's reminding us that the total experience of eternity is recorded within the soul, and Baba's awakening that experience, emerging that experience. And so Baba pulled us into eternity to be with him and experience stepping away from everything here, and in that state of eternity, infinity, gave us an experience of what purity truly is. In the past, when I've been asked, what is purity? Then sometimes I've said to people, well, it's that state of power, that original power of the soul. Or it's that state when there's nothing but love within the soul. Or a much easier definition is to use the negative, in a sense, that state in which the soul is completely pure, is that state when it's completely clean, in which there's no more blemishes or no more marks on it. All the stains have been washed away. Of course, any gross stain of the vices, well, that anyway one can understand as impurity. But that state in which there's no subtle negativity whatsoever, That is purity. And I've always felt that a negative definition is inadequate, that there has to be a very powerful positive definition of what it is rather than what it isn't. And yesterday, Baba defined for us many, many very powerful, very beautiful definitions of what is purity. And so, right from the very start, Baba defining purity as royalty. And I think everybody here is very aware that royalty has nothing to do with the luxury of clothes or anything else, or physical comforts, or the type of car that you drive. But again, some time ago, talking to Daddy about the word royalty, then she'd said that, well, royalty is reality, and reality means truth. And so I feel very comfortable with that definition, that the state of royalty is actually the state of truth. And it fits in completely with my understanding of the further things that Baba was talking about yesterday. The deity stage, not only emerging the eternal stage of the pure soul in Paramdham, but also the pure soul at the start of the cycle in its divine form. And that age, described as the golden age, is also described as Sat Yug, the age of truth. And so the divine state of being, the period of the deities, the golden age, is actually the age of truth. And so purity is royalty, means purity is truth. And another way to understand royalty, think about Brahma Baba, and even though 99% of this gathering have only seen Brahma Baba through their inner realization rather than the physical eyes, I think that the majority of this gathering would say that, yes, we have a relationship with Brahma Baba. I'm actually curious, and I'll ask you the question. How many of you would say that you have a relationship with Brahma Baba? Fantastic. That's 99%. I thought maybe 70%, 80% would say, but wonderful, 99%. We were in South Africa a little while ago for the Sustainable Development Summit, and one of the brothers from France had brought across a slideshow of Mama that he prepared for Mama's Day, and that he loved the slideshow. It was a creative meditation experience, seeing the slides and hearing a meditation commentary, basically. And then afterwards, Daddy asked the gathering, have you seen Mama? And it was Brahmins, and they didn't quite know what to say. Because obviously none of them were around in the 1960s. The center in South Africa only started in the 80s. So that was the physical reality. But then one of the people there, he was here in Madhuban till this morning, he's not here now, but he then said to Daddy, well, I didn't see Mama in the physical form, and that was the trigger for Daddy to take a whole class on what do you mean by seeing? And her point was that if I meet somebody in the street, I see them, but do I know them? I don't see them. I've seen them, and they've come and they've gone, and thousands come and go, but I don't see them. But if there's someone I know, then I'll say, yes, I've seen them. And so her point was that knowing is seeing. Experiencing is seeing. Attaining is seeing. And so if you apply all these criteria, then yes, definitely. The 99% who said that, yes, you have a relationship with Brahma Baba, you would also say that it's not just a relationship with Brahma Baba, but you've actually seen Brahma Baba. And so why I'm taking up the subject is because when I think of the subject of royalty, then the image that comes to mind is the image of Brahma Baba. If ever there's a figure who portrays royalty, then it is Brahma Baba. Baba yesterday invoked Baba in terms of following the father when Baba spoke about giving and taking sorrow and who are you following? Are you following the one who's defaming you? And so he's defaming you and you defame him back. Well, that's fine, then you follow the human being. But if you want to follow Brahma Baba, that's not what you do. You do something else. You endure, you tolerate, but what you give back is happiness, not sorrow. And so, royalty. Think about Brahma Baba, and you not just then understand what is royalty, but you understand what is purity. Just one very simple indication of what the impact of purity is on physical matter, and it was something that I realized at that time, but it's really classic, and it gives an indication of what happens with the power of purity. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, must be 2 weeks ago, while we were all still in our own countries and not in Madhuban. There are about three or four different Muralis consecutively, and each day Baba was talking about the germs and the rubbish in the body. Do you remember that? Very strong. What is this body? It's full of germs and rubbish. And yes, it's true, you know, peel off a quarter of an, how thick is the skin? A tenth of an inch, a quarter of an inch, don't know. But anyway, you peel it off and you see all the mess that's there underneath. And so the state of impurity and the body, aches and pains and illnesses and diseases, and the body full of nothing but bugs and germs and all sorts of stuff. And the state of purity. And the state of purity where there's such a harmony of everything within the physical system that everything is filled with order, with peace, with fragrance, divinity, light, and imagine the body of the deities. Well, Brahma Baba, in that last period of Sakar times, and when I saw Brahma Baba through the month of June, and then October, and then December in 1968, others tell me that they could see more and more Baba taking on the angelic form. And For me, seeing Brahma Baba through my childhood and teens, it's not so clear to be able to perceive the contrast, but what I do remember clearly is that time through 1968, and Baba's form, physical form, radiant. And so when Baba's talking about teachers being able to, through their features, forecast the future, or through their features, reveal the future, and the future is Farishta. In Hindi, all three words, features, future, Farishta, all similar, but the angelic state. And so through Brahma Baba, the physical form, even so radiant, radiating light, that you could see the angel on earth, and you could feel the angel on earth also. And in the presence of Brahma Baba, a fragrance that didn't come from a bottle or a tablet of soap, but a fragrance that was just a great sweetness and a pleasure to be in the presence of Brahma Baba. And so at the point of the soul leaving the body, 18th January, the body was so pure, so pure. Soul was pure, of course, but the soul, whilst in the body, had purified the body to such an extent that the pure body stayed beautiful. Even the departure was Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, midday. Midday we started the pilgrimage of peace around Mount Abu, and the cremation actually happened only about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So by then it had been 2.5, 2.75 days, and still the body radiating beauty without decomposition. And that was the first body that I saw without a soul, and after that I've seen many, 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 and I've only seen one or two others who were very powerful yogis, who were able to maintain that same beauty after the soul's departure. For most, it's not been a very pretty picture, and for some, really quite frightening almost to see them. But in Baba's case, a state of repose. About 3 weeks ago, we all heard the Murali, which Baba had spoken exactly 1 month before departure. And Baba had spoken about how the departure of a yogi, like today that he was saying, you don't say death, but the departure of the yogi, the departure of the soul, and the body is peaceful, in a state of repose. You would say that the body is just at rest and very beautiful, with a smile, almost a sweet smile on the face. And so that state of purity, in which everything is so absolutely clean, that not only is the soul clean, but like the body has been cleansed completely also, and so radiates that fragrance. And so royalty means that image of Brahma Baba. And of course, one of the titles that we've heard about Brahma Baba is that Baba was the carefree emperor. It's a title Baba gives to all of us also, but certainly for Baba, not a penny in his pocket, and yet a generous-hearted ruler and a carefree king. Absolutely true. Until the very end of Brahma Baba's days, the abundance was always there. I mean, I remember Baba's abundance in terms of showering us with gifts and love and tollies and you name it, and Baba shared. But on a physical level, I mean, Madhuban didn't even have hot running water. And everything was very, very basic, very, very simple. Baba's room, today it's got the photograph and the flowers and a settee, and it's twice as large as it used to be. But in Baba's days, the little gaddi, the four-poster bed, which is just string, the bed isn't a thick dunlopillow cushion. It's basically four pillars with string and a tiny little thin, not a mattress even, a thing. and a little table and two chairs. That's it. That was the royalty of Baba. And so the royalty really had nothing to do with the external possessions or the furniture or the lifestyle or anything. The royalty totally was a royalty of heart, a royalty of spirit, the royalty of spirituality. And so when there's truth, there's royalty. That's the point. That when the soul has the power, the authority and the dignity that comes from truth, that is royalty, that is purity. And the first definition that Baba gave us is that purity means truth. Absolutely true. Nothing else at all. And when there's truth, there's transparency. And so the next thing that Baba was talking about was light. The definition of purity, the crown of light. And Baba asking us the question, can you see it? And so what am I seeing? Am I seeing someone's short hair, someone's long hair, someone's curly hair, someone's... Or am I seeing the crown of light? And again, how am I seeing? Am I seeing with these eyes, or am I seeing with this eye? And if I'm seeing with the divine wisdom, the intellect, which is the gift that God has given, then I see the radiance of light the soul is displaying. And so around the crown of each one, this crown of light. It was a lovely question that somebody asked yesterday. I think it was in the afternoon. I wonder what Baba actually is thinking when he sees us all. And I said, well, Baba tells us what he's thinking. It isn't that Baba's thinking one thing and saying another thing. But whatever Baba's thinking, Baba is saying. And so when Baba tells us that what Baba is seeing is each one with his crown of light, that is what Baba is seeing. And what Baba is training us to do by sharing with us what he is seeing is for us to do the same. And when Baba is saying, are you seeing this crown of light? Baba's reminding us. Baba doesn't say, you should be seeing a crown of light. That's a different language, different style. But Baba is saying, well, you are seeing the crown of light, aren't you? And of course the soul begins to understand that, well, this is what I should be seeing. And if I'm not seeing it, Baba's nudging me gently to that position where I am seeing it and I don't see anything else. And so the second definition that Baba's given us of purity, that purity means light. A soul that's able to shine, a soul that's able to sparkle, a soul that's able to express that inner beauty of purity through the sparkle that's visible and the intoxication that's again displayed through behavior, through activity. And just these two definitions of purity being royalty, truth, purity being light, and you begin to get a flavor of what Baba kept using, these lovely words that have this lovely sound, jalak and falak. I'm not sure how Srila Ven translated them. What did she say? Sparkle, intoxication. Right. So, but the sound of the Hindi words is very lovely, isn't it? The jalak and the falak. And so, just think about how that sparkle is made visible. The qualities of the soul are internal and in a way invisible. The soul is invisible. But yet the soul expressing these qualities through the physical form, and it's not invisible. It's very much visible. The other person who very much instantly brings this word royalty to mind is Dadi Prakash Mani. And of course, again, you see that dignity, that royalty. Cotton. All she wears is cotton. She's not wearing silk. She's not wearing velvet. She's wearing cotton. And yet, what you would say is royalty when you see her immediately. And so the sparkle of truth and the light that shines when there is purity, and our good fortune that we've been able to see this demonstrated and displayed in front of us, the dignity with which Dadi Gulzar moves and sits and speaks, not just when Baba comes, but when it's Dadi Gulzar. It's lovely that we always have this opportunity, and she very sweetly agrees to Dadi Janki's request that a day before, 2 days before Baba comes, it's actually Dadi Gulzar who gives the class. So then we have that experience of her warmth and her personality and her memories of childhood and her experiences with Baba and Mama. And then where she demonstrates what Baba was asking all of us to do yesterday. And another definition, and it came towards the end of the Murali, and I'm jumping a bit, but I'll share it since it's in that context. Baba said, you should disappear and only the Supreme Soul should be visible. Atma, soul, disappears and God is visible. Param Atma. And so what happens with Dadi Gulzar is that she loses her identity and merges Baba merges her consciousness, and whatever are the mechanics of that, it's another story. But then what we see is that she disappears and then it's just Baba who is visible. And when we see her, even when she's just Dadi Gulzar, why it is we are immediately reminded of Baba, and when we take drishti from her, Dadi Gulzar, not Baba, yet still the feeling is of Baba, because she's learned this art to disappear and merge her own identity and just simply be an instrument through whom God is able to work. But one is the experience through trance that we had yesterday, but it's also actually a training and a lesson for all of us at other times. And like you saw when she gave class a couple of days ago, that's what she did when she was giving drishti. She disappeared and what you were feeling was the light. I remember when that if Janaki had come to Madhuban after not having been in Madhuban for some years when she was in London, so she came in 74, then she came back to India in 78, and so she'd been away for about 4 years, and she hadn't been there to see the start of those beautiful scenes when Baba first met Baba's children from abroad. And yesterday again, Baba with such love saying that, "I can't say that I have more love." Baba's extremely diplomatic. So Baba can't say that he has more love for some and less for others. But then the way Baba puts it, Baba has special love for the children from abroad. Very beautiful. Well, if today Baba has thousands of children abroad and Baba is still speaking of this special love, well, you can imagine the love that those of us who came right at the start of Avyakt Baba's role experienced when Baba would come and there'd be 10 of us, 15 of us, 20 of us every year, the numbers were growing. But seeing a handful of children from abroad, and Baba would spend an hour with a handful. And of course, Baba was preparing those souls to be instruments to serve whole continents, not just whole countries, but whole continents, which is what's happened. Those souls are playing that role at this point. But Dadi Janaki hadn't witnessed those scenes of, in a sense, the results of her effort. So she'd given us the training abroad and sent us to Madhuban. And we'd taken the fruits of that training and had the love from Baba. And then when she came 4 years later, by then, it was already in hundreds, not in tens and twenties. And she came back. Of course, the love that Baba gave her was fantastic, but she came back making this comment that, "I want to be like Dadi Gulzar." And what she meant was, "No, I don't want to go into trance, but what I want to do is to be able to disappear and just let Baba work through me." And so that year, 78, or the next year, 79, we had Baba Bhavan. Before that, we'd been in the tiny little rooms in Tennyson Road, and then Baba Bhavan. And the first Rakhi that we had there, we started around 7 o'clock at night, and it was only about 80, 90 people, and it went on till 4 o'clock in the morning. And so Rakhi finished, and we all then trotted upstairs to Baba's room and just carried on with Amrit Vela. So it was literally that sort of experience of invoking Baba and letting Baba be present and Baba capture everybody's consciousness, so that we just weren't in the physical region, we were in the subtle region. And so again, we've seen the Dadis demonstrate purity, royalty, that truth, that light, that dignity, and this other definition of purity, being able to merge the self so that only God is then visible, or only God is present, and my own sanskars and personality have been merged and are no longer manifest. And so, of course, the bhakti statement, "Wherever I look, I see God, only God." And so the reality of that experience today in Sangam Yuga, being able to allow God to do that through us. And so another beautiful definition. The other definition of purity that Baba gave us yesterday, seeing the kumaris and their sashes, ek vritta. I think it was either last year or the year before So there had been a whole murali on this word, ek vritta. And different translations and definitions of that. Commitment to one. Loyalty to one. And this idea of commitment, a fast, a promise that you make, a commitment that you make. And so a commitment to one, and that is purity. And it begins to open up the subject in a very unlimited way when I think about purity as being the commitment to one. It means that it's not just God who's at the center of my life. Before I become a Brahmin, okay, let me put it personally because it might be different. It is different for everyone. So before I became a Brahmin, if this is the stage of my life and I'm here, center stage for each one of us, each one is center stage for ourselves. So on the stage of my life, I'm here, center stage, and where did God fit within that? Nowhere. I knew of Baba, and I thought that Brahma Baba was a fantastic person, and I thought Madhuban was an incredible place, but neither the desire to know God nor an understanding of God. And so on the stage of my life, God was still behind the curtains. And yet, of course, for some, those of you who... So my bhakti was all done in the past birth, no bhakti this birth. But for those of you who do remember the experiences of bhakti, the love, the devotion, the search, all of that, in the purest sense, the beautiful sense of the word bhakti, then, even then, on the stage of your life, where was God? Did God come onto the stage once a week? Temples, churches, mosques, gurdwaras, once a week? Or was it once a day? I would say probably for most, very, very few who would say once a day or many times a day. But as soon as you become a Brahmin, it changes. And so God comes into the center of your life, and for me it was instant and dramatic and very powerful, and God came right into the center of my life and became the priority in my life, and everything else just sort of faded away. And so then it was Baba and me, and whatever it is Baba wanted, that's what I wanted. And as I said, it was really a button being pressed and instantly things changing and happening. So God becomes the priority as soon as you begin a spiritual life. Again, definition of Brahman, one who takes a rebirth, one who is reborn. The body is there, but the spiritual birth. And so that's the definition of a Brahman. One who's had a new birth, a spiritual birth. And in that spiritual birth, it's God, my mother, my father, my teacher, my friend. But ekvritta, the commitment to one and the loyalty to one, is not just making God the priority in my life. It's actually more demanding than that. A lot more demanding than that. Because ekvritta is only one. Nothing else. only one. My loyalty, my commitment is to one. And that then colors everything else. Which means that my relationship with you, it isn't that I'm putting God as the priority and then it's my relationship with you. No, a little bit different. It's that now that God has come into my life and I've made my total commitment to God, my relationship with you now is influenced through that connection. And so in a very real way, I see you as my sister. I see you as my brother, or all sisters, or all brothers, or whatever language you use. But you are my family. You aren't my husband, my wife, my uncle, my aunt, this, that, and the other, which is a step away, many steps away. But no. Baba spoke about drishti, vritti, kriti, the drishti, the vision, the vritti, the attitude, and then further, the kriti, the actions. And so what is my vision then? Ek vritta, the promise, the fast, the commitment, the loyalty to one, and that's forever imprinted into my consciousness now. And so when I see you as my immediate family, siblings, children of the one, not any relationship that's one step away or two steps or four steps away. It's an immediate connection. And just as it's that eternal connection, in the same way, this isn't a relationship based on karmic accounts. Very interesting. Even lokic brother and sister. And it's karma, karma, karma all the way. And I would say that the majority of you probably have brothers and sisters. Some maybe don't, but the majority do. And it may be sweet karma, it might be not so sweet karma, it might be very challenging karma, and it's definitely karma that goes through all the ups and downs of the roller coasters. And one moment it may be sweet, but next moment you say something which isn't quite what the other one wants to hear, and there's a turnaround and it's not sweet anymore. And so with lokic brothers and sisters, of course, anything lokic, definitely in any other relationship, there's a huge amount of karma. Brothers and sisters, a little bit, not a huge amount usually, but with every other relationship, mother and father, husband and wife, huge karma. You know all about that. But my point that even in the light karma that exists in between brothers and sisters, there's still all the things of sanskaras and nature and happiness and sorrow and pain and pleasure and all of those things that come in. That in the relationship with God, nothing but the soul being able to receive happiness and treasures. And in that awareness, that commitment to one, then the relationship with everyone changes, because now this is no longer a relationship of karma. It's the eternal relationship. It's the relationship that exists because I'm connected with God. And so this relationship has the same qualities as this one. In this one, I'm receiving, And in this, now having received, what am I going to do with it all? Of course, I'm going to give. And so the beautiful expression Baba kept using, Devta, Dini Vala, the deity, the one who gives. And so having received, where do I give? I give here. And so the sharing that happens is the sharing of God's treasures. And so the experience of really all the things that Baba was saying, as a direct result of the commitment to one and the treasures I'm filled with as a result of that, then the Shubh Bhavna, the pure feelings, Shubh Kamna, the good wishes for all, can happen in a very natural way. Not an effort and struggle in which I'm trying to change my feelings. Purity is that state in which there's nothing but good feelings and good wishes. But that sort of purity comes if the other purity, the commitment to one, comes. If there is that experience of the commitment to one, then this purity of nothing but good wishes for all can happen easily, automatically. If that hasn't happened, then it's the battle. One moment, yes, I have good feelings for you. And next moment, I feel a little bit empty, and there's something I want, and maybe I want it from you, and maybe you're not able to give it to me, and so then there's a feeling of discontent, is the whole story of wants and desires and the ups and downs comes in. But pure feelings, how can I maintain nothing but pure feelings? And if I don't have pure feelings, then the other state of good wishes for all can't happen either. If my feelings are up and down and mixed and a little bit good, a little bit not so good, then of course my heart isn't going to have good wishes continually. Sometimes I'll support you, sometimes I'll withdraw, sometimes I'll hesitate, sometimes I'll offer. But good feelings, and a heart filled with good feelings, then yes, all I want for you is nothing but the best. There's nothing else that I want except the best for you. I've had everything for myself, and so what more do I want? But it's to share that, the sharing of fortune. And so good feelings, how can I continually maintain good feelings? And Baba's told us about all these things, but it was very beautiful, Baba putting it all into the context of purity. And certainly for me, expanding my whole understanding of the definitions of purity. Because in a way, we know all of these things, and yet Baba putting it under the subject of purity, and it comes alive in a different way for me now. And so if now I'm asked, what's the definition of purity? I have many very powerful definitions. As I say, all these experiences we've had, but then when Baba crystallizes it and says, okay, now here you are, this is what it is, then you say, ah, it's all clear now, very clear. So it felt like that. And so that state of nothing but good feelings, you can see that good thoughts, that's important, but feelings are deeper. And if when I'm sitting with Baba, why every day Amrit Vela, Baba's Murali is part of our routine, to keep that state of being completely clean nothing but good wishes, pure feelings, nothing else except that commitment to one and that one right in the focus, influencing everything else. In a sense, being able to see the world. So it's not just that when the world sees me, they don't see me, they see God. But that's possible only because when I see the world, I see it through God. And God isn't a lump. But so, God the filter, everything through God. And so each day in the morning, to begin the day by rearranging everything, the hours of sleep that we've had, you've switched off your consciousness in that intent way of awareness, and you've let the intellect rest. And so that state of buddhi, the intellect that's governing everything I do normally, that's now quiet. It's not functioning. And so the buddhi at rest, and in that state of sleep, really it's just the mind that's floating around. And it's why we have, one of the reasons why we have dreams that make no sense. The filter of the buddhi isn't active at that point. And so our understanding in a conscious way isn't coming in. And so jumbled up dreams. But also the other thing that happens, the intellect set aside and the mind and the sanskaras. And so it's in your dreams that in a way you see the quality of your sanskaras very, very clearly, very easily. And it gives you a very good picture of what's going on in terms of purification. And so a simple way to see where you're at is through your dreams. If you want to see how deep are your sanskaras and to what extent the cleansing process of the sanskaras has been effective. And why I'm mentioning this is because when we wake up, then the filter needs to be put back into place in a very conscious way. And it's also the reason why Amrit Vela is the most challenging and Amrit Vela is the most rewarding. The most rewarding because you're again very consciously bringing back, you're waking up the intellect. The body to be awake is one thing, but the active intellect, to put it back into place so that then it's there, ready to govern everything that you're going to do from that moment on in a very conscious way. That's what you're doing at Amrit Vela. You're waking up the intellect and putting it back in place with God as the filter. And if that doesn't happen, then the experience of many, yes, maybe my body needed extra rest, so I gave it extra rest, but things didn't go through the day as I would want them to. Or the murali, for whatever reason, I'm not able to hear the murali, read the murali or whatever. And again, there isn't that influence of God through the rest of the day. And so every day this cleansing that happens through meditation and murali, to again make sure that the soul maintains purity and improves the quality of purity. And the feelings that I have, that definitely, if I've put Baba absolutely in place in the morning, I've put Baba's versions into my conscious mind, not just somewhere at the back of my head. Yes, of course I know Gyan. But another thing that I'd like to mention, where sometimes it's very easy to feel, but I've heard these things of the murali, why do I need to hear them every day? But I know about the cycle, I know about the soul, I know about karma. Well, we're not just hearing Baba Smriti in terms of more information. And Baba's not just speaking the Murli in terms of giving us more information. But Baba is the ocean that's purifying us. Baba is the ocean who's cleansing us. And so just sit and listen to the Murli. And let that fountain flow over you. And the soul will be cleansed. And the rubbish that I'm picking up every day will be washed. And definitely God's words and God's ideas and God's directions are again going to be influencing me. So, my feelings. If I'm doing all of this, then the quality of my thoughts is more likely to be as Baba wants it to be. It's very easy for 23 hours of the day when we're exposed to all sorts of stuff for that to influence me rather than Baba. It's surprising that on the one hand years of effort and on the other hand a little bit of inattention. Somebody was telling me how for about they've been in Gyan a long while, but their attention on the subject of purity, absolutely the consciousness that Baba wants me to have, the vision that Baba wants me to have, being able to see each one either as a soul or the angel as Baba described, to keep purity to that extent, they said how they'd been working on that for about a year and they were very pleased with the result because it had been inner attention and they'd been able to manage to keep that state of purity. And 1 week, no, it wasn't even a week, they noticed it over a week, but they then attributed the fact of 1 hour. 1 hour watching television, and then gradually over that week they found that the purity wasn't as strong, as intense as it had been. And they were wondering, checking, and they attributed it to that 1 hour. So a year's effort and 1 hour. And the reason is that it's not because that 1 hour is more powerful, but probably because I'm still carrying my old sanskaras, which are thousands of years. So it's actually a recording of a few thousand years that's there, and the 1 hour just again triggered it. But the effort that we're making, the management of old sanskaras and the transformation of old sanskaras, and so the cleansing happening. So that's not to scare you, but just to make you aware that it needs vigilance. It needs that sort of determination. And I say that this is what I want. And every step along our life, we have choice. Every time I'm taking a step forward, I have a choice. Do I step this way? Do I step this way? And physical and spiritual, it's a choice, a conscious choice. But that's the difference. Instead of just being pushed by the tide and by the crowd, I stop and I make a conscious choice. Where do I want to go? What is it that I really want? And if what I want is that purity, and why do I want that purity? I want that purity because it's the way to experience God's love. And it's the only way to experience God's love. Negative thoughts and what happens to God? Pulls to a human being? what happens to God. And so purity is the way to experience God's love. And I'll be drawn to that experience and that desire for purity, because that's also the eternal and the original stage of the soul, which is again what Baba was giving us the experience of, not just reminding us of. So Baba speaking and then becoming silent, and it was long pauses to allow us to experience that state. So, beautiful definitions to remind us and to work with, but this last one that Baba gave, just disappear, so that then it's God who's visible. I think maybe that's what's going to stay in my mind, so that then really that experience of being with Baba and Baba being with me is something that stays continually. And I know that as times get more chaotic, that's the only thing that's going to help us and protect us. But also, it's through that that we'll be able to be the protectors of the world. The role of angels is surely the role that's beginning now. Time's getting more and more critical, and Baba's children sharing light, sharing God's love, by being the angels, the ones through whom God works. Om Shanti. Let's sit in Baba's remembrance and experience that stage.